May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Future Priest Maya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Future Priest Barzilai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my great privilege and honor to present to you the future priests and priestesses now entering the sanctuary. It's my great privilege and honor to present to you the great future priest, Nabiya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is "The Persecution Will Increase, But We Must Endure." If you will turn over to Daniel 7. You will turn over to Daniel 7, verse 25. And it says, it's on page 679, and it says, "And he will speak great words against Yahweh, and will wear out, mentally attack, to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh, and think to change times, Yahweh's feast days and laws, and it will be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of times." The house of Yahweh has always been persecuted by the popes of the Catholic Church. You saw recently how the Pope just came out against the 613 laws. Remember, it is prophesied that we will suffer persecution. If we were not being persecuted, we would not be the house of Yahweh. If you will turn over to Yochanan, Yochanan 15, verse 18 and 19. It's on page 833. It's Yochanan 15, verse 18 and 19, and it says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would have loved its own. But because you were not a part of the world, for I have chosen you out of the world, for this reason the world hates you." And you see how the world loves the Pope. He was on the cover of the Rolling Stones magazine. You can also see how the world hates us. They proved it in their own courts that Yisrael Hawkins was hated above all people. If you will turn over to Yochanan 7:7, Yochanan 7, verse 7, it's on page 822. It says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hated me because of the testimony I bring against it, that its works are evil." So why should we endure persecution? Reading from the 8th book of Israel, part 1, "Persecuted but not Forsaken," on page 307. The title of the pastor's speech is, "All who live righteously as Yeshua will suffer persecution, but you will inherit the kingdom." Verse 17 and 18, and it says, "We need to be aware of what we're facing and what we've got to be up against and what we've got to do to cope." And of course, the hatred that the world has for us. Now, of course, the house of Yahweh was created for the purpose of sending a warning to the world before the end comes. If you will pay close attention to what I bring, you will see what we've got to be up against and what Yahweh says we must do in order to receive the power that we want to receive. the power that Yeshua himself has already achieved, and we're going to receive it. Yahweh promises us that and the power over the dead, the power to create and maintain life and so forth. So we need to remember Yahweh's promises to us and the reason why we are created and the wonderful things we will inherit in Yahweh's great kingdom. Yahweh gives us great encouragement in the scriptures to help us endure persecution. If you will turn over to Revelations 3, verse 7 and 9. And it says, "And to the Malach of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, write these things, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Behold, I give out of the assembly of the accuser who preach themselves to be those who worship Yahweh, and they are not, but they attempt to deceive by falsehood. Behold, I will appoint them for the purpose of worshiping in the presence of your footstool, and they will understand that I have loved you." And for my last scripture, I'd like to make to remember it's Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. "Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for greatest is your reward in heaven." And with that, I'd like to turn it over for prayer.
Great future priest, Deacon Israel Abil.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, the title of my sermon today is The Prophet Daniel's Life. Now, he was taken captive, him and his three companions, when they were children. And if you'll turn over in your books of Yahweh to Daniel, chapter 1, and it's found on page 671, Daniel 1, and I'm going to start reading at verse 3. Found on page 671, and it says, "Now the king directed Ashpenaz, the chief of his eunuchs, to bring in certain of the children of Israel, those of the king's seed and those of the nobles, children in whom there was no blemish but handsome, gifted in wisdom, knowledgeable, and quick to learn and understand, such as would have the ability to take their place in the king's palace, and whom they could teach the literature and language of the Chaldeans." So they wanted these children, they wanted them to forget their religion. So they were taken by one of the kings of the 12 tribes, and he too was one of Hebrew consent, and he was one of the kings of the 12 tribes. And before we go any further, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 13. And that's found on page 538, Isaiah 13 and verse 2. And it says, "Lift up a banner upon the high mountains, raise your voice to them, wave your hand so they may enter the gates of the called out ones, the house of Yahweh." And if you look over to side note D there for called out ones, it says, traditionally translated nobles, the lexicon in Veteris Testamente Libros by Kohler and Baumgartner, page 597, shows this word is correctly translated called out ones. So are we not are we not Pastor Yishel Hawkins' children? Are we? Yes, we are. So get this. These are Daniel and his three companions. They were children when they were taken captive. Now let's start reading in verse 5 here, and it says, "The king appointed them a daily allotment from the king's food and from the wine which he drank. They were to be so nourished for 3 years, so at the end of that time they might stand before the king. Now among these of the children of Yada were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave different names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, he gave the name Shadrach. To Mishael, he gave the name Meshach. And to Azariah, he gave the name Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart, and get that, purposed in his heart, mind, that he would not defile himself with the allotment of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he asked the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So he purposed in his heart, or in his mind. Well, in other words, he had set his mind in advance, which we learn about in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And in the character unit, on page 80, under the heading, Set Your Mind in Advance, it says here, setting your mind in advance to maintain your positive character traits begins by first considering just how important it is to have a moral character. And the next paragraph, it says, the next step is to make up your mind not to be influenced to do anything that will compromise your character. In other words, determine in your mind that no one can talk you into doing something you know is wrong. This is called setting your mind in advance. So Daniel set his mind in advance that he was not going to defile himself. And remember, they were only children when they were taken captive. And even as young men, Daniel and his three companions were faithful to Yahweh. And because of their faithfulness, Yahweh delivered them from the lion's den and from the fiery furnace. Now if you'll turn over there to Daniel chapter 3. And that's found on page 673, Daniel 3 in verse 1. And it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, 60 cubits high, about 90 feet and 6 cubits wide, about 9 feet. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now go down to verse 4. It says, then the herald made this loud proclamation to you. It is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, let's read the side note there, G17, on the side of the page. It says, these are the two most dangerous weapons Satan uses to fight against the children of Yahweh, the consent of the multitude and the cruelty that man is capable of. Even though some may have reverenced Yahweh, the multitude which consented to this wickedness pressured them to follow the crowd. So this peer pressure, we also hear about this in the Peaceful Solution, the peer pressure. And we shouldn't follow the peer pressure. And one of these, and so they use these influences here, and also it said there the fear of what man can do to you. So verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So the people there, they tell the king that there are certain of the Hebrews who do not pay any attention to him. And they were speaking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you look over to verse 15, and it says, or look up to verse 14, and it says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, Elohim, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you are prepared to fall down and worship the image which I have set up at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and every kind of music, then it will be well with you. But if you refuse to worship, you will be thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace in the same hour. And what God El is it that will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar and said, There is no need for us to answer you cautiously in this matter. For if we are thrown into the burning fiery furnace, our Father, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And may he deliver us from your hands, O King. But if he will not, may it also be known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods, Elohim, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Now let's read side note G4. It says, they stand on two points. First, on the power and wisdom of Yahweh over them, and secondly, on their cause, which was Yahweh's glory, and the testifying of the true faith with their lives. And so they make open confession that they would not even outwardly consent to God Elohim worship. In verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the form of his attitude changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they were to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it was normally heated. And then the strongest men, they bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the fire. And let's read verse 21. It says, then the 3 men were bound with their coats, their trousers, their hats, Karbala headgear, and their other garments still on, and were thrown into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's orders were so insistent, and the furnace so excessively heated, the flaming fire killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up to it. And side note, G5 says, this declares that the more the tyrants rage, the more crafty they show themselves in inventing strange and cruel punishments, the more Yahweh is glorified by his servants, to whom he gives patience and endurance to abide the cruelty of their punishment. For either by delivering them from death or in exchange for this life, he gives them a better life. And you know, we can see this with what the Catholic Church used to do, how they would rip their bodies to pieces because they wouldn't give in to their peer pressure, their influences, for them to break the laws of Yahweh. Now, let's read verse 28. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the Most High God, El, whom Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve. Now remember, the footnote in Daniel chapter 1 there, it says how you're going to see where the king calls Yahweh a god. But remember that his name is, or remember that Yahweh is not a god, it's Yahweh. So, who has sent his Malach and delivered his servants who trusted in him? Disobeying the king's command, they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Or they didn't worship any god, they only worshiped Yahweh. Now, after this, the king saw 4 people walking in the fire, and they wondered. Now, this 4th person was not Jesus, or Yahshua. Remember, Yahshua did not pre-exist. So the king called them out, and not even the smell of smoke was on their clothing. Now, so the side note G4 said that it was the testing of the true faith. Now, by the faith, because they were faithful to Yahweh, Yahweh delivered them. So Daniel was revealing the interpretations of the king's dreams, but only through Yahweh. Understanding only comes through Yahweh. Now, let's read an example of where Daniel was delivered because of his faithfulness. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 6. And this is found on page 677, Daniel 6, and let's look at verse 1. And it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, satraps, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these 120 princes, 3 presidents, chief administrators, of whom Daniel was one, that the princes might give their accounting to them, so the king should suffer no losses. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the other presidents and all the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king preferred him and had in mind to set him over the whole realm. So, verse 4, therefore the presidents and princes tried to find grounds to accuse Daniel with regard to his administration, but they could find no occasion nor fault, because he was faithful. No error nor fault could be found in him. Then these men said, we will find no grounds to accuse this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God El. Let's go to, let's just keep reading. Then these presidents and princes assembled together before the king, and this is what they said to him. King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to institute a firm decree that whoever requests a petition of any god El or man for 30 days except of you, O king, he must be thrown into the den of lions. So they try to set this trap for Daniel here. Now, so Daniel continued praying to Yahweh, and they discovered Daniel praying to Yahweh, and they brought this report to the king. Well, let's read verse 10 here. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree was signed, he went into his house, and in his upper room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times in the day and prayed and gave thanks and praise before Yahweh, just as he had done before. So he continued praying to Yahweh and keeping Yahweh's laws. So then they brought this report before the king that they saw Daniel praying to Yahweh, who is not a god. And so the people went to the king. Now let's read verse 15. And it said, but these men assembled before the king and said to him, O king, know what the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed, altered, nor revoked. So the king commanded that they brought Daniel out and threw him into the den of lions. But the king had spoken to Daniel and had said, your God El, whom you serve so faithfully, will have to save you. And Daniel did serve Yahweh faithfully. Now, let's go down to verse 20. This is when the king went to the den of lions. And it says, when he arrived at the den, he cried out with an anguished voice to Daniel. And the king spoke to Daniel, saying, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God El, whom you serve so faithfully, been able to save you from the lions? Let's go to verse 22. And it says, Yahweh, this is Daniel speaking, it says, Yahweh has sent his malach and has closed the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. For I have been found innocent before him, and also before you, O king, have I done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and he was found to be completely unharmed because he believed in Yahweh. Now let's look at side note G2. And it says, because he committed himself wholly to Yahweh, he was assured that nothing but righteousness would come to him. Here we see the power of the faith, Psalms 23 and Hebrews 11, verse 33. So again, because he was faithful to Yahweh, Yahweh delivered him from the mouths of the lions. And then the king had all of those who had accused Daniel thrown into the lion's den. And it says that their bones were broken to pieces before they even reached the bottom. So, now remember, these were young men when they were taken captive. They were young men, but you can see how strong they were and how faithful they were to Yahweh. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11. And we're going to read verses, starting at verse 32. This is found on page 950, Hebrews 11, verse 32. And it says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through the faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned the armies of the aliens to flight. So through the faith they were saved from the lions and from the fiery furnace. Now you young men, listen up here. Remember, they were young children when they were taken captive. They took what they had learned and they used it. You young men today can achieve greater if you listen to the sermons, study the sermons, and apply them. Set your mind in advance. Praise Yahweh. A Kahan told me of an example of a young child that had set their mind in advance a month before Thanksgiving. They live out in the world, but a month before Thanksgiving, that she was not going to celebrate it and eat the food and take part in the things that they do. And so she set her mind in advance, and she actually did it. She didn't partake in it, and her grandma got mad at her, and her dad got mad at her, but she didn't follow the crowd. She set her mind in advance not to follow those ways. Put the toys away, those stupid toys. Put them away. And those toys, they include cell phones, those push-button gadgets, anything that takes your mind away from studying. You know what you're missing out in the world? You're missing those STDs and the fighting and the wars. That's the only thing you're missing. There is zero. There is nothing in the world that you need. Absolutely nothing. So stand up for Yahweh. Set your mind in advance like Daniel did. Stand up for Yahweh. Remember, they were only children like you. And you can see all the great things that they did. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kahan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Today in the news, of course, we have quite a bit taking place, and be mindful of what Yahshua said. He said, be on guard and watch. We know not when the time will actually come, but we do know the season. We need to be watchful of what is taking place, and we know the time is at hand. And the first thing that we have up, of course, is the CDC admitting that the flu vaccine for this year was off. They got it wrong. Millions and millions of doses are wrong. So did they throw it away? Of course not. They're labeling it for something else and selling it that way. But what you'll see is these pharmaceuticals aren't created even with the intentions of helping. They're created for the making of money, the generating of money. And then also, floods in California due to what's taking place, they're calling it the pineapple effect, where the wind stream coming across the Pacific is bringing in a lot of rain for an area that has been under severe drought. Now keep in mind, they need rain, but look at what takes place once they get it. Not even the earth, the soil, can handle it now. It's so confused, it's breaking loose, they're having tremendous mudslides, and it's literally breaking down the entire environment out there. Is just falling apart. And then we have the protests that we see where people are protesting the system. Keep in mind, it's a system. What you see the police officers doing, what you see is what has been trained by a system, a beastly system. People are only what they are trained to be. And of course, when you see these protests, you're seeing people stand against this other system. They're starting to reject this rule by force, this brutality. That's a positive thing. And then we also see where John Kerry is pushing to expand war, and he appeared before the Senate and the Congress, a committee, and he's pushing to expand the war beyond Syria and Iraq. Now notice he says Syria, and we're not really at war in Syria, supposedly, but he says he wants to expand it outside that. Then we also have where ISIS is receiving military weaponry from the United States. And listen to how the general explains how they got it. He says that the wind carried it off. It was destroyed. There's no way they could have got it. But it seems as though that may be the one they have. So it's really confusing, but pay close attention to what they say. China has developed a new supersonic jet. Now, I want everyone to remember, in the news you're going to see, it looks like China has developed something to get the upper hand on America. But if you remember a few years ago, myself, some of the future priests, and a couple of deacons, we went to Washington, D.C. to the Carnegie Endowment for Peace. And when we went there, we thought that it was supposed to be a meeting on how to carry on alternatives to nuclear war. But what it was the United States had developed a supersonic missile that they could shoot from America, go out of the atmosphere, up into outer space, come back in the atmosphere above China, and literally hit China, and they would only have 10 minutes to realize a missile was headed their way. So it was a way to attack them very quickly. Now keep in mind, Russia is right up above China. If it works for China, it works for Russia. So a lot of these things you're seeing, it's like the tit-for-tat video that you've seen in the Peaceful Solution, where you have one person pushing, the other one pushes harder, and it's a back and forth. Well, along with this development of the supersonic jet, we have a clip where it was done in 60 minutes, on 60 minutes, where the U.S. shows they have 450 nuclear missiles ready to fire at all times. They're literally set, ready to go. They just need the command to launch them. And once that command is given, they're going to be on their way and there will be no return. And then, this last week, Ron Paul, actually he used to be a congressman, he's no longer a congressman, but he speaks about this bill that was passed in the Congress. It's been passed, it's going to the Senate, and he listened very carefully to what he said, because he's amazed they passed it. It literally sets the grounds to go to war for Russia. It literally sets the basis to do these things, to take on Russia and to go to war with them. Now keep in mind, I want to read you something. If you remember this newsletter, just a quick excerpt from it. It was, read this first. It was in the nuclear baby that we gave out with the nuclear baby. And on page 7, make sure I got the right page. No, page 6. It says, there is no reason that the nuclear war strike plan for Iran and the very dates that prophecy shows were not fulfilled, except the prophecy of holding these things back by the authority of Yahweh to try His people and protect His last day work. Now remember, this plan was set to take forth. The dates were given. They were exactly right. And Yahweh allowed it to be held back. Now that says, the United States has the most reliable air force of any nation at any time in history, but they could not perform in order. Why? Because Yahweh sent a spirit unto them and they had no power to resist. The dates were right. The location was right. Six nuclear bombs would have definitely killed a third part of man over a fourth part of that location. The prophecy of Revelations is true. Yahweh at this time, holding back the starting of war, giving you time to believe and repent. That time is almost up for all of us. We've been given quite a few years since that time. Watch the news. The time is at hand. So at this time, if we could please play the news.
The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, that's wonderful. Yahweh is smile, got a smile on his face big time right now. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Dick Cheney, I hope he's listening. I know the students walked out on him this week and called him a war criminal. And I was so pleased with the students in standing up against the evil of torture. But what do? Kiss them on this cheek, then kiss them on that cheek? That's what you said now, Dick Cheney. You asked the question. I want to answer it for you. When you get a prisoner, make him useful to the United States. Bring him to the house of Yahweh and let us teach him the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. We will make a useful member out of him that you can send back to his country and he'll teach them. It's that simple. But no, don't torture anyone. Man, oh man. Most evil thing in the world. The word's only used one time in the Holy Scriptures. That's when the forefathers that the Pope was following was torturing the people who spoke the laws of Yahweh. Here, get my breath here in a minute. Biblical instructions work better than all pharmaceuticals, says Israel Hawkins. New publication. I'm going to read this right, but be prepared now. 70,983,000. I tell you, it floored me. One of these, Yahoo, for instance, it has 51,804. Yahoo. This is spreading like wildfire right now. Several of them have millions here. This news article. I don't know if you saw the ad or not. I hope you did on Prophetic Word. But our group of men made a news article showing that Israel Hawkins is going to be a household name, and it's going to be seen here and there and everywhere. And they showed Times Square. Times Square, you know, the big television screen, that huge television screen. Well, guess what? Is that on there? Now that's the article, and they wanted to put it on that in Times Square, and that's the one that's won over 70 million people. Yeah, 70,983,000. With Yahweh, all things are possible. Praise Yahweh. This week, here's what the Bible really says about eating pork. That's up to 31,000 already. In the same, Yeshua was doing his work too. It seemed like there was a storm in Scotland. The wind was 96 miles per hour. 96 miles per hour. And I said, that's the year the book of Revelations was written. 96. Remember that? 96. Well, it seemed like a guy took a picture of this wave because it had what they call a mystery face in it. Yeah? And they called the house of Yahweh or emailed us or something. Can you see it? Now, the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel has this circled here. The man didn't do it. The Weather Channel did that and put it out there calling it Mystery Face. You can see the glasses right here across my head, around the eyes. Nobody has a nose like mine, that's for sure. Outstanding, you know, out. Or standing out, either way you want to put it. At the same time all of this is taking place, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins already has a sermon on this and all the dates. So the next time he speaks, okay? Same time this is taking place, U.S. threatens Russia with deploying nuclear missiles in Europe.
that Pope says there's going to be peace. He also says Pope Francis, dogs can go to heaven. Earth was given to man, but heaven's given to the dogs. Oh, boy. He also says, now he's been talking, he's been hearing this, you know, pork. Well, he says, pork or nothing. Mayor makes Muslims kids to go meatless at French schools, either that or eat pork, one of the two. You're probably going to see more of this as we get closer to the end because of the great showdown that's taking place right now. It's wonderful. The Pope, of course, is saying we're going to have peace. I got gobs of articles to show otherwise. But the scriptures, the reason I know that war is coming, and if you just think about it, you'd know it too, everyone who hears my voice, if you pay attention to the next few weeks of sermons, you'll see that the nuclear bomb wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a prophecy in Daniel 12:4 that says in the last days, that the knowledge will be increased. With the knowledge that was there before 1934, we were still traveling in wagons pulled by teams, was doing plowing and planting the same way. Everything was done mechanically. There was no such thing as computers before that. In the year 1934 was when the computer was born. That's when I was born. That's 1934 also, due to the computer, was born the nuclear bomb. We have it. I've been putting the dates in newspapers, the historical news dates of this. Now here we're talking, if you're too stupid to get this, if you're too stupid or dumb to listen, at least listen to what I'm saying. The prophecy said that knowledge would be increased in the last days. Yeshua Messiah in Matthew 24:33-34, that's Matthew 24, verses 33-34, says that this generation will not pass away. This is the last generation given to rebellious man. And he shows nuclear bombs that will darken the sun. Daniel said knowledge will be increased and there will be the worst time of trouble ever, showing the same thing that the Savior said in Matthew 24. Now, isn't that something? Try to predict what you'll do tomorrow. You know, we have people that go to sleep of a night with plans to go shopping tomorrow. A car runs through their house and kills them. You know, they wouldn't have slept in that bed if they could tell you what would be the results of it that night. The fact is, a human being is too stupid. We don't have the ability to foretell future events. Well, the nuclear bombs are here, and it all took place in my lifetime, starting in 1934. Micaiah. If you'll turn to Micaiah, it's found on page 705. That's almost the date that he was written. This is written. Micaiah worked and wrote from the years 750 to 710. That's 40 years that he wrote, bringing us this great prophecy. But these prophecies are true. They're coming to pass in detail, every last one of them. coming to pass in detail. Micah 4, he shows here in the last days, and that's what the Savior said, last generation, Daniel said the last day, when we would have knowledge that would be increased, nuclear bombs due to the increase in knowledge. No man could do that. Only Yahweh can do it. In fact, that's the job of the witnesses that's shown in Isaiah 45, that he chose two men so that they may know, the people know, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, that there's no power except Yahweh. No power. And if you turn to gods, you cut yourself off from him and you have no help. Well, here in Micah 4, verse 1, he says, in the last days I will establish my house. Now, if you know anything about history, you know that the house of Yahweh was destroyed in 70 CE. There was no house of Yahweh. The disciples were all murdered. Their buildings covered up with a mosque or something, an orphanage maybe, where they kill babies after they got through using them. The evil that went on in those 1,500 years before the Bible was brought back, the evil that went on was taking all the messages of the prophets and apostles away from the people. That was prophesied too. Now, if you'll just follow me in your scriptures, I'll show you this one step at a time. Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4 says the same thing. In the last days, he just tells about the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, and Herodians in the first chapter of Isaiah. And then he says, but in the last days, I will establish my house. In the last days, that's the last generation, starting in 1934, as I just told you. 1934, when knowledge would be increased, and Daniel actually saw me and talked to me in his vision. And that is shown in chapter 12. The one teaching, the one opposing Babylon, Daniel was actually given the opportunity to see me in a vision. He'll know me when he sees me, when I resurrect him. He'll know all of you too. Well, now, get this. Solomon built a house, the house of Yahweh, in Jerusalem. This is 1 Kings 3. Maybe well to turn there and just read this and take it slow so you can see it. First Kings 3. He gives you the history of the house of Yahweh. He gives you the history of the Catholic Church too. And running along abreast with this evil movement that follows gods and trusts in gods and worships gods mainly because of the money they bring in. That's what is shown in Jeremiah. This is 1 Kings, page 276, third chapter. 1 Kings 3, if you'll look at verse 1, Solomon made a coalition pact with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married the daughter of Pharaoh. He brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of Yahweh and the wall around Jerusalem. He kept her in the city of David until he finished all of that. Now, look, however now, the people were sacrificing on the high places because there was no house built for the name of Yahweh until those days. You see that? They wasn't sacrificing at all until that house was built, and then they started sacrificing at Jerusalem. They're sacrificing in all the high places, but not there. That took place in 1013 BCE. 10:13 BCE is what we're talking about there, the year. In Micah 3 and verse 12, Micah 3 verse 12, that's found on page 705, Micah, or Micaiah 3, verse 12, he says, "Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field." Now, remember now what you just read in 1 Kings, Solomon built the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem. Did you get that? 1 Kings. And now he's saying here, Micah is prophesying. Micah's prophesying here in 7, this took place in his prophecy, that is, the prophecy took place in 717. This prophecy, this particular prophecy, took place in 717. Some say 710, some say 717. But anyway, it took place at that time. I suspect it's probably 710. "But therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field." Zion is where Solomon put the temple of Yahweh. They called it the temple. It was actually the house of Yahweh, as you just read in 1 Kings. Well, why was they calling it temple later? Because the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians took the name away from the people. And they wouldn't allow it to be pronounced. Well, in verse 12, he says, "Therefore," this was 303 years after Solomon built the house of Yahweh. Micaiah made this prophecy and said Zion's going to be plowed like a field. Jerusalem would become heaps of rubble, and the mountain of the house of Yahweh like the high place of a forest. Bare. Nothing there. Now that's the prophecy of Micaiah, see? 303 years after the house of Yahweh was built. In Matitiah, the Savior doing the speaking here, in Matthew 21, or Matitiah 21, keep those two events now in mind, 1 Kings, the house of Yahweh was built. The year it was built was 1013 BCE. Then Micah in 710 BCE made this prophecy that Zion's going to be plowed like a field. Here's a big, beautiful temple, the most beautiful thing in Israel, strong with a huge wall around it that you couldn't penetrate. And Micaiah says it's going to be plowed like a field. And then the Savior here says in Matitiah 21, notice verse 43. "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but in a foreign land." The kingdom of Yahweh. That's what was given to Solomon. And he built a house for Yahweh. But the Savior says now, it's going to be taken away from you and given to another people, but from in a foreign land, and they will bring forth the fruit of it. He just got through telling these people, you're not bringing forth for the fruits of Yahweh. You're bringing forth fruits of the evil gods. Look at verse 42. Yeshua said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner? This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Yeshua was saying he is going to be the head of the house of Yahweh. Look back to Micaiah. Again, page 705, and look at verse 1. Now, here's the prophecy that came from Micaiah to the ones who took control of the temple that Solomon built, the house of Yahweh that Solomon built. This occurred in the years 750 to 710, 40 years' time here. Now remember the temple that Solomon built, and he was in touch with Yahweh. Yahweh answered his prayers and so forth. It's shown. Remember that took place in 1013. 303 years before Micaiah gave this prophecy. And 3:1 now, Micaiah 3:1, he said, "Then I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel." Now he's speaking to the ones that Genesis 49, the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, that was brought up out of the land of Egypt. At this time, in Micaiah's time, the sons of, or ancestors, cousins of Moshe, called the Korites, had pretty well taken control of everything at that time. But notice what he says now here in verse 1. "And I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel." Well, that establishes that they were ruling the house of Israel at that time. "Is it not for you to know justice, you who hate righteousness and love evil?" Remember Genesis 3:5? Genesis 3:5, the evil of the gods. If you're like the evil of the gods, you're going to perish. Look over to Matithiah again with this in mind now. And remember, he's saying, you who rule or have taken the kingdom of Yahweh. Matithiah 21. And look at verse 43, found on page 751. "He then asked them," 21, I'm in the wrong chapter. Matithiah 21, verse 43. "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to," now remember what you just read, "and Micaiah, you who rule the kingdom of Yahweh." So they were ruling in Micaiah's time, and he is saying, "You who hate righteousness, you hate the laws of Yahweh," he said. Well, here, the Savior is speaking to them in Matithiah 21, verse 43, and he's saying, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but from a foreign land, and they will bring forth the fruits of it." So the Savior made a prophecy here showing that the kingdom was going to be taken from them. Go back to Micaiah again now. Micaiah 3. And remember, these are all prophecies. And I know you remember here in the sanctuary, you remember the fulfillment of these prophecies too. So this is more and less for Dick Cheney and the Pope and all the others that are not acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, that don't know why I truly believe everything written in those Scriptures. I know that war is coming. And it's very soon now, in fact. We're getting very, very close to it. Now here, back to Micaiah now, 3, verse 1 and 2, we just read it. Verse 2 says, "You who hate righteousness and love evil, you strip off the skin from my people and the meat from their bones." Look on down to verse 9, we can skip part of that. "Now, hear now, O heads of the house of Jacob," again, "you rulers of the house," notice they rule, they don't guide or teach, but they rule, "rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert equity, who build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity, her heads judge for reward and her priests teach for pay and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean upon Yahweh and say, 'Is not Yahweh among us?'" That's what they told Moshe, remember? Aren't we all holy? When there's wanting to take over and guide the people? Well, they were too evil to guide the people. They were not following the righteous laws of Yahweh. How could they lead them in righteousness if they're not following the righteousness? How? That's how Yahweh is going to select you. You who love righteousness, you who follow righteousness, will be selected to guide the universe forever. That's what your trials, that's the reason you were made, that's the reason you were created and put here on earth. Mankind simply lost his directions. He lost the reason that he is even here. He didn't even know why he was here. He thought he just evolved from a tadpole. The tadpole, well, he came from a gassy god who blew up. Big Bang. Don't know where he came from either. Well, ask the Pope. Yeah, kind of funny, isn't it? He's making all the world, going to try to force pork on all the world now. "Is not Yahweh among us?" Why can't I rule instead of Israel Hawkins? Why do we have to ask the house of Yahweh? Why do we have to ask at Abel? Well, try asking the Pope and see what kind of stupid answers you get. That's why you have to ask at Abel. Always. Praise Yahweh. And what would the Pope tell you? No evil can come upon you. That's what he's saying. Here, men, women, and children are being murdered all over the face of the earth today, tortured in prisons, by the Catholic Church even, raping little boys till they die and throwing them in gutters or whatever. And this is still going on. "And who am I to judge," says the Pope. When they do ask him, what does he say? "Who am I to judge?" Didn't ask you to judge, Pope. We asked you to look at the justice Yahweh gives you. You can't ask Dick Cheney. He's proven that. He says he don't know what to do. What do? Kiss him on the cheeks? He asked the question when the boys walked out on him, calling him a war mongrel. The heads of our government don't know. Yahweh knows, but they push Yahweh aside. The greatest wisdom they could ever hope to find, things that would tell them what to do to solve all their problems, and they push it aside. It means nothing to them. You know why? It was taken away from them. The light was taken away from them, as Daniel prophesied it would be. The books were sealed. They're sealed up in a vault. They weren't even taken out till the 1900s. I think it was 1916 or something like that when they finally started distributing them in Oklahoma. We got one when I was about 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. No, it was before that, maybe 4 years old. But those books were taken away, like Daniel said they would be. Could you make a prophecy like that, Dick Cheney? You who say that torture is okay? Even the people that work with you say it accomplished nothing. It was built on lies, falsified. Your records was even falsified. They wasn't even smart enough to keep records. And you expect this to bring you peace because you caught another one and another one? There's millions of them out there. You going to take them all to Guantanamo Bay? If you would just get it in your head that you could get taught, you could teach your enemies how to be your friends, how to be buddies with you, how to come and work for Yahweh, how to be a servant in Yahweh's kingdom. But your forefathers pushed this away. And the Pope said we ought to respect, out of respect for God. You notice he didn't say out of respect for Yahweh. He said out of respect for God. We shouldn't mention the name Yahweh. And we shouldn't keep his laws. Yes, that's what he's saying. He's finally showing his hand. He said, the laws of Yahweh don't save, Christ does. This is the same man that said we change the name of Yahshua to Christ and Jesus, which are names of false gods. He probably doesn't even know that. Pope Francis is dumb. He doesn't know the scriptures. He knows not the scriptures, as Yahshua said. So he has to come up with some kind of answer, and this is the ridiculous things we get. Like torturing a man to find out what they're going to try to do next. And their records don't even tell them anything. They said no results. There was nothing accomplished by this, except you showed your face to the whole world, and now you've created enemies all over the world. Even in America, you have created enemies. That's the reason the college students walked out on you. You haven't done anything but accomplish more evil with your torture. You could have accomplished a lot if you'd have just taught these people righteousness. But first you'll have to learn it yourself, Dick Cheney. Come here and I'll teach you. Pope Francis, come here and let us teach you the truth. Let us teach you righteousness and teach you how it will solve these problems, and you'll have righteous answers for the people. You think people are going to believe you now? Here you've accomplished this all over the world. You're showing your face all over the world, and this didn't come from Dick Cheney. It came from the Vatican, the Seven Hills of Rome, the leaders of Dick Cheney and others like him. That's what your scripture says. Prove me wrong. Try to prove me wrong on this. You know that I'm telling you the truth. Whose picture is on the coin that you use? Whose picture is sitting in the White House at this time? Is it not the Pope? No evil will come upon you. That's exactly what the Pope is saying. No, we're not going to have war. What are we having? What do you call this? It's like saying you're not going to have prisons. Therefore, because of you. This is speaking now. I want you to get this in your mind. This is not speaking of somebody who lived and died back there. It's speaking of a system that was alive and well in 1 Kings. A system that took over the house of Yahweh, took the name off of it and called it temple. By force and violence, they took this. Before Yahweh moved them beyond Babylon. Oh, that should stick in your mind. I'll move you beyond Babylon. Well, he did. Then they changed their name to the Roman, Holy Roman Catholic Church. Sits on 7 hills beyond Babylon. If you look on a map, you'll find that's the Vatican. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Because you're Catholics, speaking of the Catholics today, that's what you call yourself today, Catholics. Universal, worship all the gods. Well, your gods can't save you from this one. And you can say you're going to have peace, but you're not going to have peace. You're going to have nuclear war. Rome is going to burn. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Praise Yahweh. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become heaps of rubble. And the mountain of the house of Yahweh like the high places of a forest. Bare. But look at the very next verse. But in the last days, Yeshua said last generation. What a wonderful prophecy. Who would be smart enough to give a prophecy like that and bring it to pass? Only Yahweh. Daniel was showed the two witnesses that would be teaching. He actually showed and he asked them, when will the end be? They asked the Pope that and the Pope said, nobody knows. He doesn't even know what his Savior told him. Doesn't know what the Apostle Paul that he claims he follows told him. The Apostle Shaul was his real name. And he said, it's not going to come as a secret on the house of Yahweh. They're going to know. They'll know. That's what he said. Why don't you read these scriptures? You know, the Catholic Church don't read the scriptures. They don't use the book of Yahweh. They forbid that it be taught. They forbid that the name Yahweh be used. They said the name Yahweh crept into some of their songs and their poems and things like this. And the Pope said, we got to get this out of here. This was just here recently when they found out that we were going worldwide with the name Yahweh. And we're stirring up a lot of questions that, no, he couldn't answer. He can't even figure out how to count 3. He can't figure out why that we're celebrating Easter when it's supposed to be 3 days and 3 nights after he was put in the grave. But that's not after. 3 days and 3 nights, you can't get that out of Friday sunset till Sunday morning, Pope Francis. Well, ask Benedict, see if he knows. No, Benedict said the Lord didn't know either. Said he's asleep now. But in the last days, I will establish my, it will come to pass that the mountain, that is promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established. The promotion that will go out to all the world. It's going right now. Millions of people. 70 million people a day are tuning into this now. That's a day, by the way. Yes. 70 million people a day. Over 70 million. Well, the promotion of the house of Yahweh. We are promoting the house of Yahweh, right? Only. The house of Yahweh. And it's going to be established. This promotion is going to be established and go out from the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. All the people that are left alive after the nuclear wars are going to be, they'll be alive because Yahweh protected them, because they repented and turned to Yahweh. Okay, Zion now is going to be plowed like a field. That is plowed like a field. Now, let's go over to Stephen's prophecy. Stephen, in chapter 7, this was a wise man. He was one of the deacons that really studied the scriptures. He went to the house of Yahweh with a pencil and a pad in his hand. He did. He wrote these things down so he could teach others. Stephen was a great teacher. And Yahweh used him, and he put prophecy in his mouth. You really ought to read these things and pay attention to every word that you read. Stephen now was in A.D. 31. Now remember this, in Micaiah, that was 700 years before Yahshua. Stephen was 31 after. Got that? Stephen, the elders of Israel, calling themselves the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, came after Stephen because he was using the name of Yahweh and teaching the laws of Yahweh. This is the four religions Stephen was talking about here. He is talking about them, and they knew it. Now, they now had, you pay attention to this now, these Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, they had control of that temple. They were ruling it with an iron fist. They were murdering everyone who didn't agree, including Yochanan. They cut off his head, remember? Cut off his head, brought it to him on a platter. They murdered the Savior. They rejected the laws of Moshe. All of that is given here in Stephen's sermon that he gave. Wonderful sermon. Well, these were the four religions now that was coming at him here. They owned the army at that time, but the Herodians owned the army and joined, of course. They weren't a religious group, but they decided to be one because they wanted that power over the people. But they had a huge Roman army. In Daniel 7, let's go there and refresh your mind, and we'll come back to this Stephen's prophecy here. But look at Daniel 7. Daniel 7. And remember, Daniel 7 is the one that wrote of the book of Yahweh being sealed up and not usable. And it was for 1,500 years. History shows you this. I bring it out in the newsletters, the Prophetic Word magazine. It's being brought out monthly, weekly now. I'm writing newsletters every week. In fact, the typist can't keep up with me. Oh, well, another one. I won't tell on her, though. But you can get these. In fact, if you want to be a proofreader will make you a copy if you'll show us the proof that you read it. That's a proofreader. You got to have proof that you wrote it, that you read it, and you mark something on it. And then they may question you and say, well, how'd you like this part right here where it says this? Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Don't get in trouble now, or they'll take you off of the list. Well, here now in chapter 7 and verse 7 of Daniel, he says, after this I saw in the night vision. Now, this was a vision that he was seeing in the night. It was sort of like a dream, but it was something that he could actually see. And he could talk, and he could get answers back, and so forth. Like he was asking questions from a Moloch that wasn't alive yet, wasn't even born. But he could see the Moloch, he could ask him questions, and the Moloch would give him the answers that he wrote then for everyone on earth in this time period. This is quite a marvelous thing. Don't think that Yahweh can't use you the same way. Read the story, read the life of Samuel, and you'll see, get your heart right with Yahweh, yes, and he will use you. He's going to use you. He prophesied that he would if you'll just get your hearts right with him. Daniel 7 and verse 7, he says, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and exceedingly strong. And it had great armed teeth, devoured broken pieces, trampled the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Well, I've told you before and brought out in the books that these 10 horns were 10 religions, and they were 10 religions, and the little horn that came up among them plucked up 4 of them, plucked up 3 of them, and took them to a place beyond Babylon, as we'll get to, and I'll bring them out this next time and show you. They didn't understand my map. They couldn't find it anywhere in the books, and I'm in trouble. I had to make that map. But I couldn't get it all on one page, so I had to take 2 copies and put them together. But anyway, it's going to be in the maybe they got one by now showing it on a map that someone else made. But the one I made is better. I guarantee you. But it'll be in our letters. It'll be in the Prophetic Word magazine. And Yahweh willing, I'll be back with you this coming Sabbath, and we'll start with Daniel 7:7, and we'll go on from there. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leaders.